As a kid, it was either doctor, lawyer, teacher. I didn't want to be a lawyer. I did not want to be a teacher. So I was like, hey, let's be a doctor. But I didn't know anything about being a doctor. Never heard of the MCAT till I got to college. That's when life hit the fan. It was hard. I struggled a lot. And my real advisor told me I'd never be a doctor. I would never get accepted to medical school. The part of me that is quite defiant was like, oh, I have to prove I'm wrong because how dare you tell me that I can't do what I told myself that I'm going to do? And so unofficial advisor told me like there are post-bac programs you can do to boost your GPA and maybe look into that because you're still qualified. And her insight and guidance is what really pushed me or propelled me to continue on the journey.
Welcome, everyone. I have an amazing guest this morning. I am interviewing Vicky, who goes by Vix on social media. She's a current third-year medical student at the University of Illinois Chicago College of Medicine. Since the age of 10 or 11, she knew she wanted to be a doctor, but wasn't really sure of the work it would entail to actually get there. She's a proud product of the Chicago Public Schools and hails from the South Side of Chicago. She didn't struggle academically until she got to Northwestern University for her undergraduate studies. That was when she noticed she never truly learned how to study and found it difficult to retain the academic information. So she decided to obtain her Master's of Public Health degree in addition to completing 3 post-baccalaureate programs. She sat for the MCAT 5 times because of the lack of guidance and really, she just felt she wasn't ready and just tried to push through the process. Medicine is really challenging, and there aren't really many people who look like her in the field. That is why she kept pushing and trying her best. Regardless of those obstacles she encountered, she knows that this is the right path for her, and she's where she's supposed to be. In addition to showing other non-traditional students that although your journey may look a little bit different, it doesn't mean that you aren't capable. And I'm very excited to introduce Vicky. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, no problem. Thanks so much for having me.
I first want to hear your story. You said a little bit in your bio, but what brought you into medicine?
Growing up, there weren't doctors who looked like me, but ironically, this didn't really hit as a child, but I did notice internally, I wasn't really connecting with my physicians. And I was that patient that wasn't fully honest, i.e. I was lying to my doctors because I felt like I was being judged or that they weren't really seeing me as me completely. And I always liked helping people growing up. I was a Girl Scout. I grew up in the church, so very community oriented. And I don't know, as a kid, it was either doctor, lawyer, teacher. I didn't want to be a lawyer. I did not want to be a teacher. So I was like, hey, let's be a doctor. But I didn't know anything about being a doctor. Never heard of the MCAT till I got to college, which is crazy. That's my reality. And once I got to college, that's when life hit the fan. It was hard. I struggled a lot. And my advisor freshman year, my unofficial advisor, because my real advisor told me I'd never be a doctor. I would never get accepted to medical school. The part of me that is quite defiant was like, oh, I have to prove I'm wrong because how dare you tell me that I can't do what I told myself that I'm going to do? And so unofficial advisor told me like there are post-bac programs you can do to boost your GPA and maybe look into that because you're still qualified. And her insight and guidance is what really pushed me or propelled me to continue on the journey.
Oh, I resonate so much with that. I definitely hear you of the stubbornness of you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to keep going. I love that. So tell me more what happened then.
So then senior year, I applied to 3 post-bac programs, Loyola University in Chicago, Drexel University in Philadelphia, and LaSalle University in Philadelphia. I was applying to Dominican University in the suburbs of Chicago, but then I don't think I followed through with my application or something. But it was mainly, okay, I'm from Chicago. I'm from a big city. I have to go to another big city. I love sports. I need to go somewhere that has sports because I'm more than a student. I am a human being. And I knew then at the age of 22 that I could not just be about grind because I would burn out. And I needed to be somewhere that allowed me to explore other aspects of my life. So I wound up going to Drexel University, like their evening post-bac program. I'm not even sure if that's still a thing now, but went there in 2013 to 2015, struggled a little bit more again. I did well in chemistry because I've always been a chemistry and math student. Numbers are my thing. It's just me. Innately, biology has never been my thing. Never had a good bio teacher. And the same thing existed there. Did not have a good bio teacher. I noticed then more than ever that I was getting distracted in the room with other students. And I asked the teacher, like, look, this isn't really working for me. Can I take the test in the room by myself? She allowed that to happen. So that was my first unofficial accommodations I got in learning. And I wound up getting a C in the class, or like a C minus, something like that. She said I earned a D, like I deserved a D. But since I was trying, she was working with me because she knew a D wouldn't help my application. And I was grateful for that because I was trying. I was meeting with her often, like always going to office hours, consistently sending emails, trying to get clarity on different topics. But it was just a struggle for me. And you needed an A or B to go to the next part of bio. So I only got to do bio one at Drexel, which prohibited me from getting the certificate because I didn't necessarily complete the full program, but that was fine. After I finished, I moved back home to Chicago because I was like, all right, been there, done that, stayed out there for 20 months and said, I'm over it. Took biology at UIC, which UIC just keeps popping up, which is like, it was weird. I didn't really know this is where I was going to go to school at, but took biology at UIC over the summer, like bio one and two, 8-week course, I believe, got to be in both. And then I worked in Chicago for 2 years as a clinical research coordinator at Northwestern because it's my alma mater. I love Northwestern. I bleed purple. So I was so happy to be back there as staff. And then I applied to Southern Illinois University, Carbondale's post-bac program, and also applied for a Master of Public Health. And I got both of those from 2017 to 2019. I applied to medical school in the interim, took the MCAT for the fourth time while I was in the program. And I had gotten, I think, two interviews at Loyola and at Marion College. I can't really think of the full name, but it's a DO school, which full total proponent of applying to both because both are doctors. And got an interview, was on the wait list, never came off the wait list, applied to a post-bac program at Rosalind Franklin while I was waiting, got off of that wait list. And I think like a month before classes started. So I started there in August of 2019. Program was only supposed to be one semester if you get an A or a B. I got a C in clinical molecular cell biology. And I was just like, oh my gosh, the barriers, the obstacles, they keep popping up. What is my life? Why does this keep happening? It was annoying. It was frustrating, but I was allowed to take neuro. If you got a C in one of the classes, you had to take neuro, which is harder than medical biochem and clinical molecular cell biology, better known as CMCB. Was in neuro. Then the pandemic came and I was like, okay, God, tell me what it is that you want this to be because this is crazy. So I started struggling in neuro because I was no longer able to go to class. I was no longer able to physically go to office hours, physically work with other students. Everything was online. And then I had to complete the program again the following year, which was redoing med, biochem, CMCMB, then adding on physiology and neuro again. And at this point, the program that I was in, you needed a 495 to even be granted an interview. I had a 493 and I was like, tell me something. Like literally that's what I prayed. And I said, God, if it's for me, give it to me. And if it's not, take it away. Because what I'm not about to do is keep doing this back and forth. It was too much for me mentally. It was exhausting. It was anxiety inducing. It was depressing. And I didn't want to continue to feel like a failure. So I said that prayer. I did my best, studied, wanted to get tested for ADHD over that summer, but pandemic, a lot of sites were closed and it's already a long wait for that anyway, regardless of the pandemic. So I got a private tutor who was actually a student at UIC. She was in her third year. She tutored me about 2 or 3 times weekly for, I want to say 5 weeks. I sat for the test, got a 501 And I was like, oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And things from there, it was history. I got several interviews, several acceptances, and now I'm a third-year medical student.
Oh my goodness, I'm just cheering. Oh my goodness, the ups and downs like that you went through, programs, pandemic. Oh, and you mentioned the emotional turmoil it took on you. And I think that is not talked about enough, all the challenges, even though you did get to medical school, but just that emotional impact on you. What kept you going during those struggles?
That is a great question. I definitely had a therapist, and we met regularly. When I didn't get that B in CMCMB, I called one of my mentors at school. I cried on the phone with her. And to know me is to know that I don't display those emotions like often. I'm definitely very happy, cheery, and I can even be upset and angry, but crying? Oh, sadness, I don't really explain it outwardly as in crying. Like, I'll be sad, but I try not to let things get to me, but I was broken. So I'm like, this was the program that I get this A or this B. I'm going to interview in the spring. I'm going to be in medical school in the fall. This was it. This was my ticket. And to me, I felt like I ruined my own self by not even allowing, like, I failed the class because it was hard. And it was just, I still didn't know how to study completely at that point, even though I had gotten a lot better at it. And praying, my faith is really big to me. I'm a preacher's kid, a PK, both my parents are pastors. And so I'm very open with my mother about different obstacles on my journey. She's a doctoral student currently, and she has 2 master degrees. So education, academics, like, she gets it. And so I would just talk to her about all these things. And she was just like, you can still do this. Let me know if there's anything that I can do to help you. And I'm just like, to have that level of support from someone that I trust, that I love, and know that I go to and that I lean on, it was very helpful. And I have several friends who are now doctors, but in the moment they were in medical school. And so they were also very encouraging to me. So I never felt alone. I never had gotten to the state of depression where I felt isolated, because I have a very strong support system.
I love that. You hit on so many important things of how faith and community and hope can really keep people going through all different types of challenges. No matter what they are, they can really boost you up. Just like, it can motivate you. So tell me, once you actually got into medical school, how did things go, especially with your history of challenges with academics? How did they change, or were they similar once you actually got into medical school?
So funny that you asked, because ain't nothing changed but the location. I failed my first exam and I was devastated. It was the weekend of my birthday. And I was like, on my head, I had this whole grand thing planned out. Okay, I'm going to take the test on Friday. I'm going to pass it. I'm having a birthday party Saturday, and then me and my mother share a birthday. So it's like family birthday on Sunday. This is going to be great. Took that exam. They don't tell you. So I didn't know officially that I'd failed until Wednesday when scores came out, but I got a 50%. And I knew that a 50% was not a pass. And my friends were like, oh, but you never know. Like, the minimal pass level, it could be low for the first. I was like, y'all, I understand you trying to help me out, but I know that I failed it. And that hurt. And it hurt even more because I felt like I couldn't be open with people about the failure, because, like you said, I'd had a lot of obstacles previously. And there are already so many trolls on the internet who believe that I got here because of diversity, equity, and inclusion, or affirmative action. And let's talk about it. Affirmative action was made to benefit or to, like, help African-Americans excel or get a seat at the table, get into the door. But white women benefited the most from affirmative action. So when people say that I have gotten somewhere because of that, I am not white, nor am I a white woman. So that's a lie. And diversity, equity, and inclusion is not saying let unqualified anyone into the room. It is to say that everyone who is qualified deserves a chance, deserves an interview, deserves a callback to be in the room with others, so that rooms are not homogenous. They are not just made up completely of white individuals, but that we have people of Asian descent, Latin descent, Black, like everything, it needs to be the melting pot of what America is, or what it actually represents, needs to be in every single room, needs to be in every single walk of life. So when people tell me that I got here because I got a handout, it's real crazy, because it was a lot of obstacles, a lot of things that held me back. And had I given up, I wouldn't be here. I got here because of me and the work that I have put in. Nobody gave me anything that I have. And so I just really need people to understand that I am here off of the hard work, the tears, the sleepless nights, the anxiety, the depression. I'm here because all of that has really shaped me to be who I am and told me that it's important to keep fighting.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Those words, I know they're touching for me, and they're touching, I'm sure, to so many people in the audience and just out there, because those words of DEI and affirmative action, they make people cringe. And it isn't until we actually share the stories, instead of just sharing these words that are so stigmatized, can we really take a seat back and be like, oh, wait, you had to go through all of that and you still kept struggling. You still kept failing. A lot of people would have given up, but you didn't. You kept going to the teacher's office. You kept applying to different programs. You kept asking for help and working and struggling. And that's exactly the type of doctors and the type of people we need, because exactly what you said, we have a community that needs health providers that understand the grind of every day and living with being human. And that is part of being human, is struggle. So thank you so much for sharing your story and for all of that. So you failed, but you didn't get kicked out of medical school. I like to say that, because I also took an exam, but that's the fear. The fear is, oh, that's it. My career is over. So what happened next?
I started meeting with a peer educator, which is basically a peer tutor. And initially they put me in a tutor group. And even though I asked for a one-on-one tutor, but even still, I asked for that one-on-one tutor like maybe 2 weeks before the first exam. So after I failed, I was like, all right, I need a one-on-one. So I met one-on-one with my tutor for the retake exam, passed the retake, seriously passed. I think I had like a 74 or something on the retake. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do this. And I stayed having tutoring for the rest of first year. I started getting involved, joined the class board as a co-vice president. And my big thing is to advocate for not just myself, but for other students, sharing resources. There's a lot of gatekeeping in medicine, and there's no need for that. Like, at the end of the day, we are peers, and then we're going to be colleagues. And you can't be everything. If you're the surgeon, you can't also be the internist. You can't also be the family medicine practitioner. Like, it takes all of us to do well. So it's important to form and start those good relationships now. I didn't let it hold me back, but I did wait until I told people that I failed, because I also, again, I'm human and I have feelings, I have emotions, and trolls will always troll, but that doesn't mean that those things, the hurtful things that people say, won't hurt me. So I waited until I did my retake, and then I made a whole video about it and posted talking about like the things that I went through, and was vlogging the day of the retake. And I'm just like, Lord, please let this end with the past, because it's about to be crazy. Because if you fail an exam two times, you do have to repeat the year. And that is a lot of weight on you as a student, and a student that's struggling academically. So I waited, but I posted about it. And once I posted, so many classmates came out and hit me up and was like, look, I also failed that exam. How did you go about navigating this? Because I'm not doing my retake until after winter break. Because I took mine right before we went to winter break in 1 year. And they were like, I'm taking mine afterwards. Like, how was it for you? Who did you meet with? Who are you working to? And that showed me that it's important to talk about failure. Because it is so easy to think that you're the only one struggling. And when you think you're the only one, you think something's wrong with you. And it's not something's wrong with you. It is the system. Because the system is not really set up for to meet varying learning abilities or learning styles and capabilities. They think that we're all supposed to learn on the same track. And that also is not true. So I just think it's very important to continue to talk about the good and the bad, the in-between, and stop painting this picture of like idealism to be in medical school. Like medical students are perfect. They get everything. No, we don't. We are in a lot of debt. Most of us, because everybody's not in debt, but most of us are in a lot of debt and struggling. And we hold the struggles close to our chest. And I need more of us to speak out about them, to let those who are in it with us right now and those who are coming after us know that if you trip a little bit, that's cool. Just keep on skipping.
The struggle is real. And yes, I'm glad you brought up the hidden curriculum and how it definitely makes you feel alone. And it's hard to figure out what to do when you have these challenges, because it's not talked about. You only hear about the positives. You don't hear about the negatives. I really liked that you made a video and shared. Really, I think of that as like disclosure. So what allowed you to, or what are the steps you individually took to think about, I'm going to disclose my challenges or my disabilities? How did you navigate that?
I just never want people to think that they're alone. And the less you see it, the more you think that it is just you. And you start internalizing your failures. And almost nobody goes through life without failing. And I almost want to say nobody. And I understand you're never supposed to have absolutes. It's never everyone and never no one. But I'd like to say that everyone has a failure, at least one, but probably multiple in life. And it's important to just talk about them, because to be honest, I never wanted to have social media presence. I'm a very private person. My mother encouraged me to do this because she said that my story could help somebody. I was like, girl, I'm gonna just make a blog. She was like, girl, ain't nobody reading no blogs in 2021. Like, people are not trying to read as much. They'll definitely watch some things though. So with her saying that and me being reminded of that, is let's talk about everything. When I started my YouTube, I talked about how I took the MCAT 5 times. I talked about how I did 3 post-bac programs and how I applied to medical school multiple times. If I talked about those things that were failures as a pre-med, I thought it was equally important to continue to talk about the failures in medical school.
Yes, I very much resonate with that. Where I am too is I want people to feel less alone. And that's also my similar type journey of why I created my blog, but I created my YouTube to combat that, because I was like, people don't have time to read, but it was also cathartic to be able to write about those challenges. You already talked about breaking stereotypes and promoting diversity, but is there anything else that you would like to talk about, specifically the importance of bringing in diversity in medicine?
Research literally shows that race concordant visits have better outcomes. And to put that in lamest terms, somebody who looked like me, and if I'm their doctor, they're more likely to be encouraged to take their medicine, to follow up. They're going to do the things that they need to better their health, which is why medicine has to be diverse. Everybody is not just one race or one ethnicity. So doctors shouldn't be either.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I want you to scream that like on top of all of Chicago. Like, we need to do that. Yes. Ugh. Love it. I know that you got through the first year of medical school. I'm sure you got through step one. Did any things help get through those first and second years?
Creating community and staying with the tutor. I never thought that, all right, I've passed enough exams now that I could ditch my tutor. No. As a class co-vice president, I meet with the dean of, I believe it's like student affairs, and talk regularly about how they could support students who had deferred step one and stop making us feel like the left out step kids because everyone else has gone on to clerkship. Or even now in clerkship, I started clerkships in December when majority of my class only had 3 rotations left at that point. And in rotations, people are like, okay, you all at the end of your third year. So I'm very vocal about saying, actually, this is my first rotation. Actually, this is my second rotation. So I need you to adjust your expectations, because you thinking that I've been seeing patients since April, I've been seeing patients since December. It is now February, about to be March. And don't grade me for me and not for what the class is or where the class is at currently. So I just think that it's very important to always advocate for yourself. Advocate. Sometimes it might feel awkward, it might feel a little bit uncomfortable. It doesn't matter. No one is going to root for you or cheer you on as much or as best as you can do that for yourself.
Thank you. I love that, the advocating for yourself. Do you have any recommendations when those trolls start speaking, or especially when there may be other medical students?
I made a post about it like a week and a half ago or something.
Oh, I'm going to go read it or go see it.
I called them out. Like, I made a new post because I said something like, you don't need a 4.0 to get accepted to medical school. I got accepted with a 3.1 and 15 C's. And I said, because C's get degrees and I'm on my way to getting my third one. And so a troll was in the comments, and that's when they call it like DEI, affirmative action. And I was like, oh, so you mad, huh? And they're like, oh, so you're confirming that that's how you got there. Okay, so now I'm gonna have to let you talk to yourself. But then I made another reel and put their comments on the reel and was just, all right. Like, when people try to discredit my medical school acceptance, that's cute. And since then, so many more people have commented saying that, oh my gosh, thank you so much for saying this, because I thought hope was lost because I have one C. And I'm like, no, I have 15. Are you kidding me? Like, it's more about a well-rounded application or applicant, and like, your character speaks so many more volumes. Stop trying to fill MCAS application or a comas with 15 blurbs about medicine. Talk about you too, as a leader, as a member of your community, some of your hobbies. I talked about how I crocheted, learned how to crochet from my mother as a hobby on my application. And I was asked about it as well. I talked in interviews about my love for plants during the pandemic. I lived by myself and I needed something to do and something to care for. I started out with one plant and now I have like over 30 plants. Like, basically bump the haters. If you ain't doing something right, if you ain't got no haters, like, people gonna hate, and they hate on you because they ain't you.
They hate you because they ain't you. I love it. Yeah, okay. Oh my goodness. Yes, that's a really good point. People are human and they're not robots. There's so much more to an individual, and that's going to be so important when you apply to residency too. That's all residency care about, is they just want to get to know you as a human. Will you actually contribute to their community, or will you just be another robot that just comes through and leaves in a couple of years after they help you through your residency? And I'm sure there's so many positive attributes of doing your hobbies, your extracurricular activities, that can easily have developed character traits going to medical school or in the future. As we round up on this video, is there any last thoughts or pearls of wisdom, even though you provided so many, but specifically for people who maybe have health conditions or disabilities?
Don't deny yourself anything because of what others may think or what they may say. So many people called me out when I said that I'd recently gotten diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, better known as ADHD. Because it's, I don't know why they had a problem with my life and what I'm doing with my life, because it's, what they're thinking is irrelevant. That's the point. I can't even tell you what they said because I don't care. This helps me because I get accommodations at school. I get time and a half on my exams. I started medication so that now I actually can sit, focus, concentrate, and I don't go off on random tangents when I'm talking to people or interrupt them when they're talking, being so impulsive, because I got the help that I needed. It doesn't matter what anyone says, because at the end of the day, you are the only one who has to be with you 24 hours and 7 days a week. Like 365, 366 this year, because it's leap year, but it's only you. So if you live your life based off of what other people say, you're doing yourself a disservice, and that's not fair to you. So do what's best for you. Do what's best for you. Please do what's best for you, because you matter most.
Amazing. Vicky, thank you so much. Do what's best for you. I love it. I'm just going to go over a quick overview of all the amazing things that you said over the past 30-ish minutes, starting off from your journey as a Girl Scout, and you went through college and struggled, and it was real. You struggled, but you didn't give up. Even when you had advisors who were not supportive of your passions, you were like, oh, how dare you? And so you kept going. Post-baccalaureate programs, even challenges with academics, weren't going to stop you from your goal and from your dream. And you kept going. You made sure that you found different programs across the country that you could learn more, keep going. And eventually you did. You got to UIC. You got to medical school. You're now a third year medical student. You've struggled and succeeded because that is journey and that is life. What really kept you going is your community and having the knowledge that you weren't alone in the struggle and learning how to find your voice to be an advocate for yourself, but then also for others by sharing with others that you had struggled and that made you the person you are today. And you're proud of that because that's the type of doctor that's going to actually treat patients like they deserve. And patients are going to want to hear what you say and follow what you say because you are like them, not just physically seeing them, but you get it in a level that a lot of people can't share. And that's so important to be able to form that connection with someone to say, I get it. And I'm here for you. The biggest thing that you did is, in addition to not giving up and keep going, you've shared your story on YouTube. You were vulnerable. And even when trolls and people tried to get you down, you didn't let that happen. You addressed it head on and be like, hey, what you're saying, like, these are the facts. This is the research that shows how I didn't just get in because they needed the diversity quota or whatever. I deserve to be here. And so do so many other people too. To finish off, the biggest things that you said is what kept you successful is that you recognized where your challenges were and you sought help. You sought a tutor, you sought community. And that is how you've been able to keep going and you've been able to find what is best for you to be successful. So thank you, Vicky, so much for being here today. Share with us your YouTube channel and how people can get in contact with you.
First, thank you, Stephanie, so much for asking me to come on here and tell my story. I really appreciate you for giving me that opportunity. And you can find me on YouTube at Made It to Medicine with Vix. Same thing for Instagram and TikTok. And then Twitter is medicine_made. So that's Made It to Medicine with Vix because that's me. Thank you.
Amazing. I'll make sure to have that linked below. That way people can keep following your journey and hopefully learn some things. If they struggle, like you said, everyone struggles, everyone fails. It's just part of life. It's important to just pick yourself up and keep going. I want to thank everyone for joining today. And if you haven't subscribed, of course, subscribe to make sure that you can keep seeing these videos of my struggles, my journeys, but then also the struggles and journeys of all these individuals who are in medicine, who are sharing their journeys both as human beings and also as health professionals in the field. You can get my website at medpsychmoss.com. You can see my blog and resources that I've used both as a student and as a patient. And you can find me on all social media at medpsychmoss. So to finish off, I want to remind everyone that you are not alone, that if you're struggling, there are so many people out there. So don't give up. Keep going because there are a lot of people out there rooting for you, including us. We were in that place before, and we know that if we can do it, you can too. Thank you, Vicky, so much, and I hope to see you next time.
Bye.